So, our last review of the day is going to be for the new Tyler Perry film, Mia Culpa. Mia Culpa is the latest Tyler Perry film that's on Netflix right now. Tyler Perry, I think he's got something going on with Netflix, because I think his last projects have been there on the platform. Because I think A Fall from Grace was, that was a Netflix
film. It was.
So I think he's got a little bit of a deal going on there. But here, he's back again. Good old Tyler Perry. And I think this movie released, February, Black History Month, so he wanted to, you know, towards the tail end of Black History Month. So, hey, bring out that Black excellence, Tyler Perry there. So, in this movie, you have Kelly Rowland, who looks fantastic, by the way. Gorgeous Kelly Rowland, by the way. And she plays a ambitious defense attorney here, you know. Of course, you know, she's trying her best, working hard. But she's in a troubled marriage, as a lot of, and a lot of main characters in Tyler Perry movies are. Her husband's without a job. She's paying all the bills, supporting not only him, but, you know, she's also supporting his dying mother there.
That's white.
Who's got cancer, who treats her like absolute garbage. All the in-laws treat her like garbage, like her brother-in-law, her mother-in-law. Her
especially because she's white.
Yeah. Yeah. So you see that.
This is going to be great.
So then a new case pops up, a case dealing with this very famous artist by the name of Zahir, played by Trevante Rose. Trevante Rose, you've seen him in things. You've seen him in things like the Predator film. You've seen him in things like also Moonlight, which he was fantastic in. If nobody's ever seen Moonlight, please check it out. It's a really brilliant movie there. Also, he's also played Mike Tyson in the Hulu series Mike, which I think didn't you see, Chill?
I've seen maybe like the episode, but not too much of it.
Okay.
But it was decent. It was slept on.
Shout out Trevante. I'm waiting for him to like get out of that whole bubble because he's dope.
He was also in a movie called Bruiser too. What I like, a Hulu movie, which is I thought was very, very fucking good, called Bruiser. Mm-hmm. Check that shit out. That's decent.
Yeah. So he plays a famous artist painter by the name of Zahir, and he's been accused of murder. You know what I mean, of his girlfriend, even though I don't know how he's being accused of murder because they're still actively looking for the girl. So I don't know how he's being put on trial for murder if they're still.
Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. It's like she's telling them, like Kelly Rowland, who's Mia in this, who actually her name is Mia, spelled like Mia Culpa, like M-E-A. Not how you would traditionally spell Mia, which would be M-I-A, but okay.
Tyler.
Yeah, so you do have.
Go ahead, Josh.
So I don't know how he's being, but she's like, hey, you're gonna be on trial for you're gonna get the lethal injection. It's like, how he's gonna get the lethal injection if you're still actively looking for the person that's missing? Like, you don't know what happened to her yet. He also did this in A Fall from Grace too, where like the woman got put on trial for murder. It's like, but there was no body, so how can you do a murder? But okay, whatever. So anyway, he's been there, so he needs a great defense attorney to help him with the case. But just there's a big conflict of interest because the DA that's prosecuting them is her brother-in-law. And so it creates a big conflict of interest there, even though the judge says, like, oh, no, this is kind of weird. I don't know. It's unprecedented. But I don't know. We'll see how it's going to go, even though that probably wouldn't even happen in real life, because it's obviously, it's conflicting interests, like you being in a family with this person. You're his brother-in-law, and this is your sister-in-law.
Judge is like, fuck, let's see what happens.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's just see what happens. This is good old regular Tyler Perry foolishness, as you know, and if you've seen any other good Tyler Perry movie, if you've seen things like Temptation, A Fall from Grace,
What's the Taraji one?
Acrimony.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, if you've seen any of those things before. Yeah, it's pretty much that level of kind of those movies before. This is, I think, being touted as like one of his very first like erotic thrillers. As you can see here, so it's like an erotic legal thriller. So it's basically a combination of like you have the Fall from Grace element plus like the Temptation element here, because she's in a marriage and the marriage is troubled, and you know what I mean, and it kind of makes her venture out to other interests outside of her marriage. That's kind of the setup here. Chill, what you got to say about Mia Culpa?
Yeah, this movie also tries to have elements of a what's that other shit called, because this is based off a Zane book.
Oh.
Yeah, this is also based off a book. So Tyler Perry is also getting more, being more of a lazy fuck. By taking more books and shitting on them via cinema. This movie is a fall from grace. God damn it, this is a fall from essence. This is embarrassing. But these niggas even allow this motherfucker to film in Chicago off of this. It's like ridiculous. And you could tell they only had like three locations. Like, and you can tell they did not let Tyler Perry go past the river. So that stayed on the South Loop. If you run Chicago, you know. This movie was sad, man. Everything about this movie was sad. Everything about this movie was just super fucking predictable. This was not unique in no type of way. First off, I give it to him. It was a little bit tame to be a Tyler Perry movie. And I don't know. Maybe I'm going crazy because I can't really say that because you see the white mama. And the white mama is just like going in on Kelly Rowland. Like in her face, like Tyler Perry writes characters to do shit that niggas do not do in real life. Motherfuckers, I don't give a fuck how fucking real you want to be. I'm sorry for cursing. I don't care how real you want to be. Nobody is just going to sit there in your wife's face and say, hey, I wish this girl was my daughter. Oh, I wish this girl was my daughter because she's doing so great. Who says that? Nobody says that. Why does he write his character so mean? What is Tyler Perry's problem? What is his infatuation? Oh, that's the white
mom?
That?
Yeah, this is the white mom right here.
Who plays the white mom?
Carrie O'Malley is her name. And the thing is, she's only, I think this woman's only in her 40s, but yet she has grown adult sons. Oh, she's 54, but she has grown adult sons in this. They look about in their 30s. So it's like, damn, how old were you when you had these kids? You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, okay.
It's a Tyler Perry movie. Who knows?
Yeah, and they try to play it off and say, like, he says, like, hey, don't I look good to be in my 60s? Because she has, like, her 60th birthday in the movie, and she's like, don't I look good to be 60-something? And it's like, yeah, because that's because you don't look fucking 60. That's why you know what I mean. That's why you look so good to be 60. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is her though. So yeah, this is the white mom in it.
She's 60 in her personality because she act like she got dementia. That's the type of people that talk to people like that. Like you gotta have like dementia, like, and but then they give her cancer. Get the fuck up out of here. Give a what up, yeah.
Alzheimer's, you know, dementia, like you said.
Fuck that. That's bullshit. Don't you just give a dementia? That's stupid, man. That's so stupid. And then they got the other brother up in here. What's his name? I don't know if you can find him too.
One of the sugar boys, the husband, or
no, one of the pretty ones. What's his name? Pretty.
The DA?
Yeah, that no, he ain't that pretty. I'm talking about the other pretty one,
the one that's her husband.
No, the one that's like a friend, and he's a private.
Oh, eye. That dude. Let me see. His name is Ron Rico Lee.
Yeah, him with the good hair. That motherfucker. He's an idiot. On top of her being an idiot, he's a big ass idiot. Then you could tell he's just like, man, I'm just gonna pop in a few scenes, get a few checks, man, and get up out of here. Cause he don't give shit to his role. He acts the same. If you have seen him in one thing, he's gonna act the same in this. He's gonna give you that little look he be doing. He's kind of like the Black Rock. Because he gives you this little fucking look with his fucking eyebrow and shit.
This,
I was like, man. This nigga, man. But yeah, he a pop-in, pop-out character. Javonte Rhodes, I don't know what's going on with that brother. I hope he not hurt for money to do this role. Because like my nigga Martin Thomas said, if you ain't never seen this fool in a movie and you see him in this, you're definitely going to think that this is just a bad actor. It's ridiculous with what he come from. This movie right here, I seen this movie in Austin, fucking Texas. Okay.
Yeah, and he's great.
It was good.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Great movie. One of my favorite movies of the decade.
Yeah, this was a wonderful film. Yeah, and he's great in it. This movie, but here, yeah, you're right.
He saved this nigga.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell happened to him in this. It's just like it just all the energy got sucked out of him. I don't know.
How is he the only dude from Moonlight to not pop off?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I
mean, he's popped off in a few ways. Cause like I said, if you see Bruiser and stuff like that, I think he shows a lot of his range. But it's just like he took his little shtick from Bruiser, because even in Bruiser, he had a sort of like ill, you know, way to, I don't know if you can find that trailer too, but in Bruiser, he was kind of like, because I can see with Gervonta Rhodes, I can see what he's trying to be. I can understand what he's trying to be. He's trying to be one of those character actors. So that in reality, maybe we can see in like the MCU or something like that. He's a character actor, bro. And I would love to see him in the MCU, to be honest with you. I would love to see him as somebody like powerful in the MCU that comes into like to like those prominent roles. Because every actor wanted to have a role like that. He's a character actor. He wants to be that character actor. He wants to be that person that can come in and out of roles and play certain.
He would have been a great Luke Cage.
Yeah, or Luke Cage. And it's just like, he's very talented, man. In this movie right here, he's very talented. And he plays like this Zen type of dude or whatever. Kind of a weirdo. The same as what's his name, but he makes it in this movie so fucking convincing on top of the story that's already on top of it. It's just like, what the fuck, man? But yeah. Oh my God, man. I just seen this movie and I'm like, gee, this movie is good. Maybe I'm overdoing it, but this movie is pretty good. Like those two characters in the movie, the movie is about two fathers fighting for one is a stepfather, of course, the real father, and they used to, you know, come from the streets together and shit. So it's a little bit like deeper than what it is or whatever, and just the characters, all the characters in it, from the kid to the both of the pops, like it's just a dope dynamic.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah, and even Gervonta Rhodes coming to the picture, man, he just kind of lights this bitch up, man, like in that movie. So it's like going from that in short period of watching that to seeing him in this is just is Gervonta. If you see this, I want you to be that actor that I want you to be. I want you to be that I want you to be what the fuck they keep trying to make Lakeith Stanfield. That's all I gotta say.
And here's a little bit of. Let me see. This is a little bit of his acting here.
This is my life, and they're trying to ruin me.
You're repping Zaire Malloy.
You damn right.
Tell him.
First word. What do you see?
You see how he kind of talks very low in this movie, and just kind of without a lot of energy. Yeah, that's
the mysterious, sexy, dark-skinned man.
Yeah, and that's kind of how he does it. And again, it follows the tradition. And thank you, by the way. Thank you, a cat named Whitney, for the subscription. Thank you very much.
David. Thank you, Whitney.
But yeah, like he kind of just talks like he just kind of just woke up and everything like that. And yeah, I mean, it's just like he just didn't seem like he gave a fuck at all about being in this movie. Like he just was like, man, I'm just here to get this check, get out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
It was at some point where he's seen the script. And he was just like, you know what? I'm just not going to try.
I got to pay my light bill, dog. Let's just get it over with.
Exactly.
And it's just the weirdest thing of like, you know, Tyler Perry movies where, you know, either, you know, it's either one way, like you're in a marriage, like it's like strictly monogamous. Like it was like kind of like that in Temptation where it's like, it was so corny of a marriage and their sex life that it's like, hey, we're going to do this on my birthday or a holiday, and we're gonna do it with the lights off under the sheets, and then that's it. Or you have an orgies, it's like a red room and everybody fucking each other. And that's what happens here. Like he lives in like a apartment or a loft. And then underneath the loft, there's like a sex room, a sex dungeon there. It's like, did he build that, or did that come with the loft or what? Like, it's like, and then he just pops down there.
Of course he built it. You said he was like an R&B dude, right? Or like a singer?
No, he's a painter.
Oh, a painter?
Yeah.
He's supposedly a hood painter because he has these little hood moments where, you know, like, you know how they say, oh, he's biting on the apple, he's an asshole. For this movie, he's smoking on weed, so he's a hood nigga. Or he's in a room full of people with suits on, even though he probably got like a fucking $10,000, $5,000 suit on his damn self, talking about, oh, yeah, there's people with suits on in here. Oh, this ain't my type of vibe, or some bullshit like that.
Oh, yeah, I know guys like that.
Hey, dog, you're wearing like a Bottega Veneta, talking about you uncomfortable with people in suits. Stop it.
But it's just really weird like that. And you know, he, of course, you know, he seduces her, and you know, like
50 Shades.
Like 50 Shades, which Whitney mentioned here, wasn't the 50 Shades that I joined in on. And it's the weakest, lamest seducing, really, that you ever see. But I guess you could kind of buy it because it is Trevante Rhodes, and I mean, he's a good looking guy, he is very in shape. And Tyler Perry knows his demographic of primarily people who probably watch his movies, primarily black women. And
let me guess, he take his shirt off?
He takes his shirt off. He's ass naked, like literally ass naked. Like you see his ass and everything in it. Mm-hmm. You know, also, you know, of course, like Tyler Perry movies, you're going to have muscular black man take the shirt off, be oiled up too. So that's also here. They, you know, of course, like old cliche, of course, because he's a painter, they have sex in his paint and all of the stuff they roll around in.
Oh, they painted. Oh.
Yeah, they do that in here.
He don't got no open windows in his house. He just, everything lives in the dark. He got a stupid ass elevator that comes up to his fucking house. He lives like fucking Bill and Ted. I mean, Wayne's World. So, but like in a dark place and shit. He tried to be like Batman and shit too. Like, stop it, dog.
Yeah. And it's just like, he doesn't even seem to care about the case against him. It's like, bro, you go to jail for life. You do understand that, right? And then he's still trying to fuck her. It's like, bro, focus on this case, bro. Like, before you start, how about you successfully beat the case, then you fuck her? How about that?
That's Kelly Rowland, homie.
Yeah, you know, focus on one thing at a time, man. You can get her afterwards, but focus on one thing at a time. And then, of course, like Tyler Perry movies go, the ending is fucking crazy. I mean,
no. Why is every Tyler Perry movie that sentence is there?
Actually, I would say this ending kind of like, you know, like, and we probably all had this before, I don't know, anybody in the chat, you know, like, like when you've been sick, like you had like a bad cold, and then like, it's probably like at the end of your cold, and like, you think you about to fart, but it's really like diarrhea, and you end up shitting on yourself. Like, Tyler Perry did something different where he shitted on himself at the end of this movie.
Oh my God. Now I want to know.
He shitted on his fucking self at the end of this movie. I'm talking about, it went to Tarantino levels at the end of this movie, to be honest with you. Tarantino levels to like, yeah. Remember like the, what was the last movie Tarantino had?
Once Upon a Time.
Yes, yeah. Remember the end of Once Upon a Time?
Yeah.
He ended this just like one. Oh, with Kelly Rowland, man. This is ridiculous, man. It was so whack. It was ridiculous, man. He just said, fuck it, man, at the end. It was like, oh, my God. He went crazy. And it's crazy because Trevante Rhodes, this motherfucker really did come in just to get a check. He just came in to have sex with Kelly Rowland. He ain't had to get involved with none of this. He ain't come save her. If I can remember.
No, he didn't. Because he was already gone at that time, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's a big stupid twist at the end. And I'm sorry, it's spoiling. I don't care. Y'all seen this shit already.
It's on Netflix, guys.
Yeah, it's a big stupid twist at the end. Where, of course, the reason why he wants to fuck Kelly Rowland, because he didn't fuck other people in Kelly's fucking family.
Oh,
Oh, what a twist. That's a twist. Oh. That's it. That's
so he just wanted to he just wanted to claim the whole family.
So
I guess.
What happens?
And, go ahead.
So what happens is, so the twist is that like I said, Zaire, he's on trial for murder. And this girl, they still looking for her, and they still trying to find her. And like the Rakeen Lee guy, he's a private investigator Kelly Rowland hires to investigate, you know, where this girl is and everything, where her whereabouts are, and then he can't find any information. So eventually Kelly Rowland, she loses the case. Zaire, he goes to prison, and then she takes a trip to the Dominican Republic or wherever she is. And then, while she's randomly on the trip, she runs into Zaire. She runs into the girl that has been missing, that he's been accused of killing. She just randomly runs into her. Like, she's jogging, and then she just randomly runs into her. She's not like she investigated or anything. And then she sees her and goes, wait a minute, aren't you that girl? And then she runs and she chases her, and then she gets away. It's like some Scooby-Doo type shit. And then the girl sprays some cleaning stuff in her face, and then she runs and gets away. So Kelly Rowland flies back to where
the scene where Kelly Rowland catches her and runs after her, it was kind of like the scene in fucking Mortal Kombat, like when you see, like, it ain't really Raiden in Mortal Kombat 2, where they do the little up close and you could tell it's not Raiden, and they like punching each other and shit.
Oh,
like, that going, like, super fast. That's how that shit was, of how she snatched her phone.
Oh, wow.
Stunt doubles with a phone. Just quick edits.
So she comes back, and then, you know, she calls the DA, who's her brother-in-law. And then so she says, like, well, I ran into the person who is his guest girlfriend. I saw her. And Zaire, he has to get out of prison. We had to call the judge. So he's like, oh, yeah, come on back to the house, and we're going to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And then that's when finally in-laws, who've been shit to her, been shitty to her the whole movie, have been talking shit about her the whole time, all of a sudden all super nice to her, like, oh yeah, come on in, have a drink, let me grab you a drink and everything. And they trying to set her up because the DA was railroading Trevante Rose and trying to make him the poster child for his campaign, because he wants to run for, I think, mayor or something like that. So, and you may ask, out of all the dudes, why Trevante Rose? Why is he being railroaded? It's because he slept with his wife. He slept with the dude's wife. And so he wanted revenge. And so that's why he was railroading this dude, trying to pin a crime on him. So the family, the in-laws, they are setting her up to kill her. But the woman that he's married to, the DA, that's her only friend in the movie. She didn't know anything about it. That's her only actual friend in the movie. And then so they end up killing her because she was trying to defend her, the woman who was married to the DA. They end up killing her. And then they try to kill Kelly Rowland too, but Kelly Rowland gets away. And it's the most fucking horribly shot scene ever. Her, them trying to fight over a knife and everything like that, and her trying to scramble away. And she ends up getting away and then everything. And then you also find out her husband, Kelly Rowland's husband, he was in on it too. And and so he was also in part of the framing and everything like that. And she kills him in the most ridiculous way. And like he pops out the car. That was like the funniest part, is when she's on the road with him and she gets away, and he's about to like take her back to the house, and she kind of like, there's a truck coming, and then she hits the car with the truck, and then his body flies out there. Like, it's like you could clearly tell that shit's a dummy. And then that shit was hysterical. But so that's how it ends. Like, the in-laws, they were the villains of the movie and everything like that. There you go.
You forgot. You got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got about five twists. But you forgot one more twist. The paintings.
Oh, yes. The paintings. So Zaire, he's got a game. He's got a system of how he fucks all these women. His thing is to take these women in, you know, have them paint and like show them, like, hey, you know, this is how you do it. And, you know, he gets all close up to them.
He ain't too much of a righteous brother either, because he had a white woman too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Dr. Umar wouldn't be too happy about that. So, you know, he gets up all close to him and says, hey, let me show you how to paint. Let me show you how to paint a masterpiece. And they all feel good. And, you know, he has all these different, like, he had 100 women's paintings that he has all pinned up to the wall. And there's a scene with Kelly Rowland. She rips down one painting after another painting after another painting of all these different women that he's ever slept with there. And then even one painting of the woman that went missing that had like "die bitch" on it, which is like, why would you even keep that shit?
What?
Like, why would you? So now, I guess, you know, she's like, oh, well, now I know you really fucking did it because you have a painting of this woman saying "die bitch" on it. Like, so now I think you really
what
did
the
it.
Hell?
So this shit is fucking crazy. It's only Tyler Perry could ever come up with something like this and make it this fucking crazy and this ridiculous.
Yeah, fellas.
Yeah, so I would listen. It's a bullshit, but it is fun bullshit, and I did laugh at it. So for that, I give it a skip it. But still, if you have the time, I recommend checking it out. If you're a person who, if you've seen A Fall from Grace, if you've seen Temptation, if you've seen Acrimony, and you've laughed at those things and had a good time watching those things, just on a bad movie level, because this is bad, but it's entertaining. I think like it's not something like Madame Web, where Madame Web had to, you committed a double sin of both being bad and boring. So it's like, I couldn't even enjoy that. Here it's,
you know, it's funny. I forgot Madame Web even existed until you said something about it.
Yeah. Like Madame Web was just bad and boring. So it's like, damn, at least be entertaining if you're going to be bad. This was at least entertaining. It was bad, but at least was entertaining. But I'm still going to give it a bad score because it was a bad, poorly made movie. So I'm still going to give it a skip it. But it's a fun skip it, and maybe something that if you have the time, you know, maybe to check out if you want to laugh. What about you, Chill?
No, you could burn this bitch, man. Burn this bitch. I'm cool on this. This was a waste of time. The only reason I seen this is my girlfriend wanted to see it, and I didn't realize it was a Tyler Perry movie. And we also, Kelly Rowland, this ain't her really like first like leading role. If you look on YouTube, she also has a Christmas movie that she dropped last year. See where this shit was gonna go anyway, and because we watched the shit on stream, the Christmas movie. Yeah, man, burn this shit all the way up. It's disrespect to my city. It's disrespectful to Kelly Rowland. I'm pretty sure if Beyonce was looking at this, she would look at her like, girl. And yeah, it doesn't take advantage of its little R rating at all. So stop it. You barely see Kelly Rowland's tits in the movie.
Nah, I'm not gonna watch it.
Yeah.
So yeah, you gave it a burn it. I gave it a skip it for Tyler Perry's Mea Culpa. There. oh man, but this I might watch this again tonight. It's pretty funny, man.
Tyler Perry.